I'm Carol Hills and for Marco Werman, and you're listening to The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. In Palmyra, Syria, it's not only archaeologists or World Heritage Sites in the crosshairs of the militant group ISIS. Just last month, ISIS militants pushed two men off a building in Palmyra and then stoned them to death. Their supposed crime? Being gay. Subi Nahas knows what it's like to be gay in militant-controlled Syria. He's from the northern Syrian town of Idlib. Nahas now lives in the U.S. and works with the Organization for Refuge, Asylum, and Migration. Yesterday, he testified before the United Nations Security Council at its first ever meeting on LGBT rights. Subi Nahas was living in his hometown of Idlib 3 years ago when another radical Islamist group, the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Nusra Front, seized control.
They arrested a person, an effeminate man, and they started to torture him. And then they started to become more aggressive. They went to a mosque and they entered the mosque and they announced there that they would cleanse the city of everybody that is involved with sodomy. And they then started to arrest people, especially like names that they were given by that person, and they started to torture them, and some of them were killed publicly.
How many men are you talking about?
Well, the people that I witnessed with my own eyes were three, but the others, the reports are very, very rare to get. People are afraid of their safety. They cannot talk openly about it, and there's no internet access, regular internet access, and there's no electricity, so it's very difficult to get it.
So what did you do when you saw this?
I was afraid that that would be my fate too. And so what I did is I tried to arrange an escape route and I did it. I escaped. I couldn't stay there.
You fled to safety in Lebanon and you've eventually made your way to the United States. At the time all this happened 3 years ago, you had already come out to your Syrian parents. Is that correct?
Well, I did not come out. Technically, I was outed to them.
How did your parents respond?
Their reaction was really bad. They did not understand it. Second, they considered it as a disease. So they were like, they wanted to find a cure. And they said, like, you cannot act based on your orientation or else you will not be our son anymore. And you have to cure yourself.
Were you living with your parents at the time?
Yes.
And were you able to stay with them up until the time you left?
Yes, but very harsh circumstances, like constant monitoring of my moves. They have to agree to the people that I'm getting out with. They have to know exactly to whom I'm talking to. It was very, very difficult to live with them.
Are you in touch with your parents now?
No, I'm in touch with my sister only. She tells me some news or updates.
You fled to Lebanon, as we mentioned, and the Islamic State, they seized control in Idlib, and you've described what they started doing. What was your sort of emotional reaction? You saw a lot of horrific images.
Yeah, I knew before they start that they will take it to another level of violence. I just never thought that they would make it public.
You mentioned that you witnessed three people being attacked. What exactly happened to them?
They were arrested, and I never heard from them again. I don't know exactly what happened to them.
Did you know them?
I live in a small town where everybody knows everybody. Like, you see the same faces. So, yeah, I encountered them a few times.
Now, the Syrian government is also targeting gay men and women. You told the Security Council yesterday how Syrian soldiers forced you off a bus in 2012. What happened?
I was caught up in a checkpoint sweep, and they forced every young person to get off the bus. But I became a special target because I was a little bit different in the way I walk, the way I talk. They started to mock me and tell me, like, call me names, and I was really terrified of what they might do.
What do you think would have happened to you if you stayed in Syria?
I would be dead.
Do you have friends, gay friends, who are still there?
Yes. I am trying my best, working with ORAM to get them out from Syria and to get them to safety and to try to give them their lives back. And they are sending us horrific images. They are sending us like messages to help them. And the situation is really dire inside.
Why do you think that Islamic State, for example, is going after gay men so horrifically?
They're trying to look like they are the guardians of the morals and the society and the community. The LGBT community was always a target and vulnerable. And you tell everybody that we're trying to clean your community from these immoral people, and then we are easy targets.
Subi Nahas is from Idlib in northern Syria. He now lives in the U.S. and works with the Organization for Refuge, Asylum and Migration. Yesterday, he testified before the United Nations Security Council in its first ever meeting on LGBT rights. Thanks very much, Subi.
Thank you.